In those days, of course, Gloucester had a very good relationship with the Welsh clubs.
Yeah, they did.
When I say good relationship, relationship.
Well, we call it a working relationship, can't we? You know, so some great memories and some great friends, namely Brimmer Williams for me, who, as we all know, went on that Lions tour and wasn't even capped, and I think he played in three Test matches, I think, before he got a Welsh cap. Played against him a few times, especially when he was at Newport. And I did have the privilege once of playing against Gareth Edwards, but that was in a public school game. It was called Public School Wanderers, and it was just an invitation game to raise money for charities or whatever. But Brynmawr Williams, to me, was probably the best Welsh scrum half I ever played against. And a lovely chap. Lovely chap. And I'd like to cross paths with him again one day and talk about the old times. And I remember him playing for Newport, and it was the Lions tour just finished, and I think, if I remember rightly, I think Newport had about three or four British Lions playing for them at the time, and it was a United game, and it was Mike Teague's first game, and I was on the path of rack and ruin physically at the time. And I played number 8 actually, and Mike played number 6. And John Orwin played as well, I think. And I got a funny feeling Mike Nichols played for some reason. He came out of retirement because I think they were short of a hooker. And we actually won, and it was a tremendous evening, as you can imagine, especially with beating Newport with their British Lions in the team. And it was in the old Rodney parade ground then. But just remember all the times, every time you got on the bus to go over the borders, as soon as you got over the bridge, it was raining. there were certain things that people used to say, that only certain players would be invited to go over the bridge on a wet Wednesday to places like Ebervale and Pontypool and Ebervale. Words can't describe how bad that place was, but great people. Once you got to know them, you have a few drinks afterwards and you would have a schmozzle on the pitch, you used to get changed, and it was dark and dingy and the floor was wet, and you used to walk across this field and across a little bridge over a brook, and then you'd cut into the sort of Lions arena as you could, where all the gladiators would meet. And it was quite scary, I think. Any youngster of sort of 17 or 18, if their first experience was that, they'd say, I'd never want to play in Wales ever again. But the memories afterwards and the game itself just made up for everything else, really.
Your second season, 1977-78, you played your most games, I think, for Gloucester. And you were part of that that Cup 15 that started every single round, and I think scored a try in each of the first three rounds of the competition as well.
Yes. I don't recall, you know, the actual side being picked week in, week out, because I remember, I think it was the game before the Gosforth game, not the cup game. I was poorly and I couldn't play, and I was just dreading not being selected. And luckily and miraculously, some good vitamins, some cabbage and some steaks, and I managed to pull myself together and actually played at the cup final.
Just before
era.
The first game was against Lindley.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, at King's Home, and we turned up, and a cup game was a cup game. And obviously, you know, everybody remembered the season before losing to Gosforth away. I think it was something like 3-0. I did go up to watch it. I wasn't part of the playing side then, I was sort of a fringe player. And the disappointment that we saw after that game, not only in the players, but all the people that travelled up. And luckily, you know, we went on to meet Gosforth in the next round at King's Home. And all that week, the papers was all about Gosforth and the potential revenge game, and looking at their side, the year before, people like Utley played and Dixon played that day, didn't he? Robertson played,
yeah.
Beakey played, Malcolm Young, full of England internationals, and yeah. we turned up here. I think it was for the 3 o'clock kickoff. And I just remember turning up to the ground, and the King's Home was absolutely packed then, and getting changed. And in those days, as you know, we didn't go out. We warmed up in the change room, and you went through your own little routines. And I was very superstitious. I always used to wear the same clothes every game, and I used to get dressed the same way. And in the change room, I used to follow the same routine, and when I used to come out, I followed the same routine. I always wanted to be fourth out, for some reason, I don't know why, just one of those things. And actually coming out to the King's Home crowd that day, yeah, it takes you back. It does take you back. And it was the Tump then, and the old King's Home end, and there were people sat on top of the stand, and it was just a tremendous game, and it was a game that you can't really remember much of. And the only thing I can remember is being picked up by Mickey Burton, and I scored a try against Lydney, that was off a set move, but the game against Gosforth is I remember just scoring a try. I can't remember how I received the ball, and suddenly I was being dragged to my feet by Mickey Burton, and as we were sort of jogging back to the halfway line, he said, "That, look at that, that's for you, Viv." And I remember those words quite vividly, really. And Mickey and I became quite good friends ever since then. And then the evening celebrations went on long and hard. And then we went then and played Wasps then in the next round up there, and scored another try there. Can't really remember much about the game itself, but then from then on it was Harlequins in the semi-final, and obviously Leicester in the final. And playing with the likes of John Watkins and Mickey mm-hmm. Burton and Richard Mogg, absolutely tremendous characters. And luckily Mickey had played in 1973 down in New Zealand with John Watkins on an England tour, and I think John Watkins, I don't know how many Gloucester players have played in New Zealand and won a test match, and I got a funny feeling John Watkins might be the only one. They had a short tour, didn't they, because it was something to do with apartheid, and if I remember rightly, they didn't go to South Africa, so they rearranged. I think it was Fiji and a couple of games in New Zealand and a test against New Zealand. I think when Ian Kirkpatrick was captain, which would be about right, 1973, 1972, because he captained the All Blacks against the Barbars in that famous game at Cardiff that luckily I attended.
I think John Pullen was captain of that England side, wasn't
John, it? He would have been. It would have been Stack Stevenson then, wouldn't it? And Fran Cotton and Mickey Burton. And John Watkins, Tony Neary would have been the open side. Andy Ripley, Roger Utley. It would have been, I can't remember, it would be something like Alan Old and David Duckham.
Your back row at Gloucester was John Simonet and John Watkins and yourself.
Yeah.
John Simonet, of course. Was
an
interesting year.
John was a very quiet number eight, just got on with things, but a, lo- a lovely gentleman. He wasn't of a Gloucester Elk. No. He wasn't of a Mick Potters or a Mike Teagues or a Gary Fug, Bob Fug.
Scotsman born in Trinidad.
Yeah, Scotsman born in Trinidad, yeah. And he disappeared off the scene. I know that he went, he started going to his magic circle and doing the after dinner speeches and things like that. But luckily now he's back on the scene and he comes to the Old Players Association. But it was a great forward back, really. A lot of people say that it was probably one of the best back rows that Gloucester had for a few years. But I know people like Dick Smith and John Gadd would dispute that. I personally don't agree with that sentiment. I think John Watkins would have to be one of the contenders for back row. And John Gadd as well, who I feel was very, very underrated.